Good afternoon, folks, and welcome. It's time to break free. I will be your host for the hour, David Matthew Rock, coming to you live from the constitutional carry state of Arizona via the Patriot broadcast from the trenches, 89.5 FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina. Jalapeno's channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and many more micro-broadcasts and webcasts heard around the world. Take the time to check out the number one source for Patriot news on the web at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. If you'd like to contact me via email, I can be reached at DavidMatthewRock@gmail.com. This is a live call-in program. Come on up and share your thoughts and experiences. Unlike the mainstream media, listener participation is appreciated. The call-in number is 641-715-3610. Once connected, you'll be asked for the conference room number, which is 220029 in the pound sign. Hit star 6 to unmute. All right, folks. It is currently 1:02 p.m. Arizona Mountain Time. It is 94 degrees in Casa Grande, Arizona, cloudy with 45% humidity. Today we're going to discuss energy-efficient homes made from recycled materials called Earthships. We will get into it as soon as we return from these messages from our sponsors.
Calling all the clans together, calling all the clans together, calling all the clans together, brothers come a-running. Calling south and north together, calling west and east together, calling all the clans together, brother come a-running. Can't afford to be a bit of sleeping. Can't you see the reaper reaping? Brothers come a running. Never mind the shells are flying. Never mind the dead and dying. Can't you hear the piper piping? Brother come a running. Come a running fast. Come a running hard. Running for all you worth. Come a-running through the gates of hell itself and let the devil take the hindmost.
We're gonna be
calling all the clan together. Calling all the clan together.
Calling all the clan together.
Brothers come running.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, a proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueNutritionNow.com. That's TrueNutritionNow.com. Then call 520-829-1133. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disaster situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Dr. Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Creme de Liumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporRebellion.com.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches. 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
All right, folks. So today we're going to discuss energy-efficient homes made from recycled materials called Earthships. But before we get into that, I just want to piggyback off what Henry was talking about last hour. He's talking about underemployment in construction and needing to bring the illegals in, so on and so forth. Here's the only problem I found when it comes to employment in construction, and I've been doing this since I was a teenager. I won't work for a shitty wage. And at this point in the game, with as much knowledge as I've gained, I won't work for less than $25 an hour. So that's the problem that I've found in construction as far as getting employment. They want to pay you 10, they want to pay you 13, and what $10 an hour is today as compared to what $10 an hour was when I first started doing construction, which was my first rate of pay, is bullshit. You can't buy anything for $10 an hour. You can't survive for $10 an hour. Okay, so the benefit to this type of home called an Earthship is you don't have utility bills. You don't have to set it up that way. You could hook up to the grid if you wanted to, but if you build the system correctly, you do not have utility bills, so it can cut your expenses down big time, and it's actually made from recycled materials. Now, I have a brief video queued up, and what I'm going to do is at the end of the broadcast, I'm going to go ahead and post it as a comment on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com directly under this broadcast. So if you wanted to see this, just go there and you'll be able to find it. So now that I got it queued up, let's get it playing. Oops, if I could hit the right button.
The power grid is a massive machine, arguably the largest machine ever built.
It's millions of miles of wire connecting millions of homes to the power plants that generate the electricity we need. It's hard to imagine living without it.
But there's a man in the high desert of New Mexico who thinks that we can.
We went through a phase of evolution where we got into centralization. Centralized water, centralized power, centralized sewage. And the infrastructure is phenomenal now. When I go to a city and I look up, I don't see a sky. I see wires and power poles and transformers. And to me, it seems really archaic to be delivering power to millions of houses when each house is touching the power of the sun.
This is Michael Reynolds, founder of Earthships Biotexture. And he thinks we can get off the grid entirely, generate our own electricity, and all we need to do is rethink how we design our homes.
A regular house is a box, really. No matter how beautiful you may sculpt it out to be, it's still a box that is hooked up to power plants, an infrastructure for water, an infrastructure for gas, an infrastructure for sewage. It's like you being hooked up in a hospital to life support. That's what a house is. An Earthship is like you walking out of the hospital.
An Earthship is a home, just like any other home, but it utilizes sustainable construction techniques so that it doesn't need to be connected to the grid. It provides its own heating and cooling, captures and recycles all its own water, produces its own food, and generates its own electricity.
That makes them a vessel. That makes them a machine. Not just a shelter, like a teepee or a box or something like that.
How is this possible? Well, we're going to find out. For over 40 years, Michael Reynolds has been building Earthships. They've been built all over the world in all kinds of climates, from the deserts of New Mexico all the way to Siberia.
How do you build one of these? What is it that goes into them?
Well, I'm looking at a global solution, let's say. So if I'm going to look at a global solution and build buildings globally, I have to have a global building block. So I looked around and looked around and looked around. What do I see all over the planet? Every country, every city that I have ever been to, and I've been all over the world. Tires are indigenous to the entire planet. Bottles are indigenous to the entire planet. Cans are indigenous to the entire planet. So I looked at them and played around with them as building materials. When you look at them as not garbage, see, I think that's the thing. We invented the word garbage. We invented garbage. To me, it's a resource.
Where are we? What is this?
This is a job site. This is the latest one that we've started, and this is just some of the foundation work and some of the very first tire work.
This is Parker. He works at Earthships Biotexture, and he gave us a tour of the Earthships they're building.
And these tires, where do they come from?
They come from the dump.
Yeah? Okay.
So you can see our tire wall.
Yeah. So what's happening here?
This is a can wall. All this is plaster and cans, and if you try to push it over.
Come on, man. It's just cans.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of beer cans, man.
So, as you can see, this is building material for the Earthship. And these Earthships, they produce their own electricity, is that right?
Yeah, it's not rocket science. Everybody knows about photovoltaic electricity. The thing that we have moved forward on is we make the building, through its other encounters, need not much electricity. It's not needed for heating and cooling. The building heats and cools itself, vastly reducing the amount of electricity needed and making it so that you can provide it from solar or wind.
So the solar energy is stored in batteries?
Batteries, yeah, like a whole battery bank. And depending on where you live and how much daylight hours you get, even like on the winter solstice, and then combine that with how cush of a life you want to live, that will determine how many solar panels, how many batteries you need.
Can you just walk up on the roof?
So our panels are on the front, the south-facing end of our roof, and they'll feed to our battery bank.
But the roof of an Earthship isn't just for solar collection.
This whole roof here, when it rains, like this entire roof will catch water. Water flows off the roof, down into these big salad bowls, and into our cisterns, which we're standing on top of. From there, it'll feed through here. Since it's rainwater, and it hasn't been injected with chlorine or fluoride or whatever they're using to treat water in cities these days, we've got to treat our own water. So we go through a few different filters and then a drinking water filter. And then it's ready to go to the sink, it's ready to go to the shower. In your apartment in Chicago, when you shower, your water goes down the drain, where does it go?
The sewer, I guess.
Right, yeah, just leaves, yeah. You know. So we have, and again, you can't see it because we try to make a lot of our houses look real fancy and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But the piping will actually go straight out to our greenhouse here.
The shower water goes to water the plants.
Yeah, they are being watered just by you showering.
Because I have a real trouble like remembering to water plants. If it was just when I showered, that'd be much easier.
And we collect it at the end, and then we pump it to our toilet. Because who needs like the cleanest water to go to the bathroom in? Like, who would actually say that that's a requirement of theirs?
Yeah, I mean, we don't drink out of the toilet anyway. So.
Right, <yeah.
laughs> at least I don't.
Matt, where are we going right now?
We're going to another Earthship. I don't remember the name of it.
Wavy.
Wavy?
Wavy.
Wavy. That's the one we're staying in.
Yeah.
And we're going to the Earthship that we're staying in.
Yeah.
Very nice. This is a great place.
I think this is the nicest place the good stuff's ever stayed.
Yeah, at. Definitely.
Yeah, I was going to say, you guys get to... They put you up in 4 stars? Or
usually it's four of us in a La Quinta in bed.
Yeah. Yeah, so... Do you know what the temperature's supposed to be tonight?
Outside, it's been getting down right around freezing.
What about, so how does, is this going to stay warm in here?
Yeah.
Is it just insulation that's keeping it warm?
Well, it's the thermal mass that's keeping it warm. So remember, we saw the tires, we saw all the dirt pounding in tires. Dirt is thermal mass.
Okay.
You pound it in thick like that, and when the sun hits it, that dirt traps the heat. The other thing is, so having the greenhouse and all this glass facing south is like solar gain. So even in your flagstone, it gets fried by the sun all day long. You feel it right now, it's warm. And all this heat, when the source of the heat goes away, like in the evening when it's cold, all this heat is just escapes to the cold place. And so to keep that from escaping to the outside, that's what we have insulation for.
What about in the summer when it's like really hot? It gets pretty hot here, right?
Mm-hmm.
How does it stay cool then?
We have these convection tubes right here. So remember that the back of this building is, you know, buried with dirt, just tons and tons of dirt. These tubes go through all that. Air comes in, goes through all of that thermal mass that cools it, and then you just have this cool air that shoots through the house. So you open these skylights, you have these cooling tubes open, and it creates convection, creates airflow. And that's how these stay cool in the summertime.
That's it? That's air conditioning?
Yeah, it's convection. It's yeah, it's right. It's cool air coming from outside the house, working its way through the house.
You definitely can feel it.
Well, we spent the night in the Earthship, the good stuff crew and I, and it was great. I really want to live in one of these. It was funny, it was actually really warm in there. I think it got down into like the 30s last night here. But it was really warm in the Earthship. I think you, David, had to open the vents at one point.
Yeah, I did. It was actually like almost hot in there. So it was pretty amazing. And then this morning when we woke up, it just felt like a comfortable...
Oh yeah, it was very comfortable.
Temperature.
So I want to check out the water system and see how that's doing. So you can see water in the gutter here. Yeah, and there's water coming down into the salad bowls. I guess it's just dew? Or the morning mist?
It didn't rain last night.
Yeah, it didn't rain. This is the desert. But it's kind of amazing how much water you can get if you're just there to capture it.
How are we going to evolve unless we take some chances? And I take chances. I know people can live without infrastructure, and I want to present that that's possible, and actually the quality of life is better. You certainly don't have a utility bill. It's up to the people to have the roadmap of how to get their life straight out of the sky, straight out of the earth, to then render these methods that are destroying the planet useless.
Where can they get that roadmap?
We're trying to do it. We're trying to draw it. We're demonstrating it.
So what do you think? Is going off the grid the future? Would you want to live in an Earthship?
Okay, we're going to cut the video off right there, folks. We're going to read a little bit deeper into it. Let me just pull this article up. So we're going to go straight to the source. This is right off the Earthship website. I'll post a link in the comments for the shows today. Okay, Earthship design principles. Earthships are defined by six basic design principles, all of which take advantage of existing natural phenomena of the Earth, building with natural and repurposed materials. Earthships incorporate many natural and reclaimed materials in their construction. Tires are the perfect form for a rammed earth brick. There is no shortage of used tires. At least 2.5 billion are currently stockpiled in the United States, with 2.5 million more discarded every year. Tires can be seen as a globally available natural resource. Other materials, such as cans and bottles, are optimal, although bottle brick walls are familiar and a standout feature of many Earthships. All interior walls are packed out between the tires and plastered with adobe mud. Mud can also be used for floors, and reclaimed wood and metal are often used. Thermal solar heating and cooling. At their most fundamental, Earthships are structures that heat and cool themselves without electric heat, burning fossil fuels, or wood. 30% of all energy that is produced in the world is used for heating and cooling buildings. By using thermal mass and solar gain, Earthships are capable of maintaining a comfortable temperature without additional fuels in any climate in the world. The structural walls of the building are formed with used automobile tires packed tightly with earth. These thermal mass bricks, which weigh about 300 pounds each, are pounded into place and staggered like bricks to form the load-bearing walls for the roof. The tires are also wide enough to eliminate the need for a concrete foundation. The densely packed walls, considered to be self-supporting monolithic walls, also store temperature, heat, and cold, because their solidity imbues them with the quality of thermal mass. The basic idea is to surround each living space with mass on three sides and line the south side of the building with windows. Sun enters through the glass and heats up the mass of the floors and walls. In the evening, when the air temperature drops below the stored wall temperature, heat is naturally released into the space. In the summer, with the...
Question.
Go ahead.
Okay, they're round tires. So what fills, how do you make it a square wall? I don't understand.
Okay, so you're going to stagger them just like you would a block. Okay, and now you're going to get these little deficits. You're going to get these little low spots in the wall. So if you could picture tires staggered at a halfway point, each course goes halfway to the other one, you're going to get these little indentations. And in those indentations...
So they're like 45-degree angles, you're saying?
No, just imagine the same... Just picture a block wall, a concrete block wall, but made with tires. So you're going to get high spots and low spots. So what they do in the low spots of the wall, when you're looking at this wall and you're picturing the curvature of each tire as they're stacked in succession, you pack out the low spots with cans and a little bit of concrete. Then to finish the wall, you take chicken wire or whatever the term is for the stuff you use for stucco, and then you screw that to the high points of the tires, and then you stucco flat across the whole thing. So by the time you're done, it looks just like any other stuccoed wall. Are you understanding?
I think. In other words, okay, the first row of tires is laid down, and then the next row goes
staggered halfway.
The tire will be in the middle.
Yeah, staggered halfway.
The other two.
And then you just continue that pattern all the way up. You're going to fill some of the low spots with the cans. Oh. And the only reason of doing that is to reduce the cost versus packing it fully with concrete. You use the cans to create dead airspace. So some of the low spots you fill in with the cans. You just screw them right in there, and then you pack it out with a little bit of concrete. And then as soon as that's done, you run the chicken wire across the whole thing, and then you stucco the entire wall. So you get a flat stuccoed wall by the time you're done, which looks like a knockdown type of texture. But you could do it any way you wanted to, I imagine. But it needs to be a...
And you don't care about the outside.
What's that?
The outside wall you don't really care about.
Okay.
So you're saying you do both walls stucco.
Nope. We're going to... Okay, let me get you to understand. On the outside, okay, so... on the far side of this tire wall, let's just say we've built the tire wall, we've packed out the low spots with the cans, we put in the concrete, we put in the chicken wire, and we stuccoed it, and the inside is completely done, okay? The outside of the wall is an earthen berm, and you're going to take it out the full, the full height of the wall. You're going to take it out about 7 to 10 feet, and then you're going to taper down from that. And what this is thermal mass, and to make a comparison, anybody who's lived in an environment that has basements, like if you're from the north, chances are you have a basement. So when it's 90,
I'm in a flood area. I need to elevate.
Okay, well, to all those that can draw this comparison, in the summertime it may be 85 degrees in your house, but if you go down into the basement, it's going to drop 10, 15, sometimes 20 degrees. And the reason being is the Earth's crust has an equilibrium temperature. I've been saying 52, but I just better confirmed it. It's 58 degrees, which basically means if you dig down to a certain point, you're going to find that equilibrium temperature in the Earth's crust of 58 degrees. So what you're doing is you're creating what would be the opposite of insulation. With insulation, you're creating dead air spaces so you can keep the energy from moving from the outside to the inside. But with this particular system, you're doing something different. You're creating a super dense, super thick set of walls that is the eastern, northern, and western sides. And these walls act like a battery, okay? And what they are is they're a battery for solar energy in the wintertime. So when the really low summer sun gets all the way down, and every day it'll start peering deeper and deeper into your house until it reaches the solstice, okay? And at that point, all day long, that winter sun is going to shine into your home, and it's going to warm the floors. It's better to pick a dark color, and it's going to warm your walls, and that solar energy is going to be deposited into the floors and into this tire-packed, stuccoed, super-dense wall with a giant berm behind it. So what happens is, as soon as nighttime starts to come, you close your curtains, and as soon as the air temperature drops below the temperature of the walls and the floor, the thermal mass starts warming the air. The air starts to pull the heat right out of the floor and the walls, which keeps you warm in the wintertime. Now, in the summertime,
David,
go ahead.
Okay, sorry, David, to interrupt you here. I know you're going to post that link, and I don't know if it shows this, but I'll ask you ahead of time. Is this built underground or above ground?
It can be built above ground. It can also be built on a piece of property with a bit of a grade. The less you disturbed the natural compaction of the earth, the more dense your floor is going to be. So you wouldn't really want to build it on old farmland that's been tilled up. You would want to get right down to that super compacted earth that hasn't been broken up before. So you basically just want to get your grade proper. You want to shoot your lines, and then you want to just very carefully carve out where your floor is going to go. And then that sand that you use to carve out is some of what you'll use to build berms. But you're also going to put in cisterns. And if you really want to take this to the full degree, you should be putting in permaculture swales. So there's more than enough access to soil on the property by the time you're done shaping your property into a useful grade. So it can be built into a hill, and it can be built on flat ground. It doesn't really matter, but you're basically just going to carve right into the ground and stay with that natural compacted earth. So did you want to add anything?
No. And is all that in that video, or are there some, like, blueprint somewhere? Or?
Well, the gentleman who puts this on wants to charge you a bunch of money for blueprints, and I don't really think that you need blueprints. This is a very simple type of structure. Once you look at it, it's not altogether too much different than what people are doing to protect themselves in a war scenario. People are taking 55-gallon drums and filling them full of dirt, and they're stacking them up to make walls. It's really not that much different. In fact, these walls would stop. I know they'd stop 50 caliber rounds. I don't know about tank rounds and all that stuff, but the eastern, northern, and western walls of your home, bullets wouldn't even get close to coming in. So this is a very sound type of home. Like these McMansions that you see, you could probably launch off a 30 caliber round and it would go through half a dozen of them, no problem, before it hit something that stopped it, you know? So
it's kind of,
if you can picture a hobbit home, like from Lord of the Rings, that's pretty much what it looks like, except it always faces solar south, and the southern wall is fully glazed, which means as much glass and as much glass doors as you can put in there as possible, because this system works on soaking up that low winter sun. Anybody else have any questions? All right, so let me see where the hell I left off here. Densely packed walls, considered to be self-supporting monolithic walls, also store temperature, heat, and cold because of their solidity imbues them with the quality of thermal mass. The basic idea is to surround each living space with mass on three sides and line the south side of the building with windows. Sun enters through the glass and heats up the mass of the floors and walls. In the evening, when the air temperature drops below the stored wall temperature, heat is naturally released into the space. In the summer, with the sun high in the sky, the building stays cool with a constant temperature of the earth. We enhance the cooling with natural ventilation through buried cooling tubes and operable vent boxes. So basically, they dig a large, deep trench, and they put some ducting in there, and they put vents coming out of the roof line, so you get a natural convection where the hot air wants to move up, and the cool air is going to be drawn through the tubes and further cooled down by the earth before it gets to you. And on that note, we're going to have to go to our bottom of the hour break, and we'll be back in just a moment, folks.
Sold I to the merchant ships. minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. But my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs, redemption songs.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, a proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueNutritionNow.com. That's TrueNutritionNow.com. Then call 520-829-1133. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Creme de Liumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
What I hate is a statesman speaking out of both sides of his mouth. What I hate is a war still going on down in the South. And what I live for is a chance to change a little bit of it all. What I hate is most folks don't seem to care at all. What I hate is looking up and seeing chemtrails in a clear blue sky today. What I hate is hitting roadblocks on a highway in my way. And what I live for is a chance to change and be everything I can be. What I love is someone bright enough to see. What I hate is what I hate, and I always will. What I hate is someone mad enough to kill. What I love is someone with a heart that's really good. Now we can't change the whole wide world. Maybe we can change our neighborhood.
Time to Break Free is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this program on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. Okay, it is about 1:39 p.m. Arizona Mountain Time, and that was Merle Haggard with What I Hate. Coming out of the break. All right. I heard some noise coming through the caller line. Did anybody have anything they wanted to come up with real quick? All right. So feel free to interrupt me at any time if you have any questions or anything you want to bring up. So we're going to continue reading this article, and we're going to go on to solar and wind electricity. Let's see. Let me just get scrolled down. Everybody has its own renewable power plant with photovoltaic panels. Every building, has its own renewable power plant with photovoltaic panels, which I assume just means solar panels, batteries, charge controller, and inverter. The key step in making these systems affordable for residential use is to design down the electrical requirements of the home before the solar system is optimized or sized. Super efficient lighting, pumps, and refrigeration help lower the load, as does the lack for any need for electric heat or air conditioning. Add in daylight from windows and skylights and a keen awareness of trickle drains and phantom loads, and a Earthship's electrical needs are about 25% of that of a conventional home. Most residents can meet their demand with 1 kilowatt or less of energy from solar panels. Some also opt to add a small windmill to the system for gray and stormy days. Okay, so water harvesting. Earthships collect all of their water from rain and snow melt on the roof, storing this water in cisterns. Each inch of rain collected from a square foot of roof equals two-thirds of a gallon of water. Multiply that by the total square footage of the roof and the number of inches per rain per year, of rain per year, and you get the your total possible collection. Water from cisterns feeds a pump and a filter that cleans the water and sends it to a solar hot water heater and also to a pressure tank. From there, the water is used for bathing, washing dishes, and laundry. And I don't know if you've ever seen these solar water heaters, but they're mechanical in nature. They're not electrical. They're just an array of black plastic pipes, and you put them up on your roof. It's like a mat that, of these pipes that run in succession in such a way where they can gather all the heat from the sun. So something as simple as that, and you can begin to heat your water. And in certain environments, you can put in a gas hot water on demand heater to further temper up the temperature and get it to what you need it to be. Okay, contained sewage treatment. The used gray water flows into interior botanical cells, where plants use up the and treat the water until it's clean enough to be collected in a well at the end of the planter and pumped on demand to the toilet tank for flushing. So what this is you're using the water. Gray water would mean water from your sink. It would mean water from your washing machine. And I think that's about it for gray water. And it's going to filter through this bed. And these plants that you're growing in this bed are going to clean out the soaps and the food particles and all the different materials. And by the time it gets to the other end, it's going to be cleaner than when it went in. But instead of using it for drinking or bathing, because it's not that clean, we're going to use it for flushing the toilet. So you're going to get more than one usage out of your water before it goes out to your sewage. Okay, so where are we at here? Okay, 40% of the water used in a conventional home is for toilet flushing. So obviously you're going to have big savings there. The toilet water then goes to a conventional septic tank, which overflows into an exterior rubber-lined botanical cell filled with exterior landscaping plants. So you get your septic tank, you put in your bacteria to help break everything down, but even if you get an overflow, you have these series of pools that will contain this black water, which I'm pretty sure is the correct term for it, and those plants and the bacteria in the soils will further break it up, keeping the odors down, and that way you don't have to tie into a sewer grid. Every drop of water that lands on the Earthship roof is used four times, so homes can subsist and thrive without taking water from the ground or municipal sources. Food production. Interior in-home organic food production is the most recent design principle added to the Earthship concept. Earthship Biotexture employs a plant specialist who has experimented with the best plants for the interior gray water botanical cells. She has also designed mini hydroponic planters in suspended buckets that have added vertical growing space in the greenhouses and have tremendous yields of herbs, peppers, tomato, kale, beets, cucumbers, and more. The Earthship Visitor Center features all of these food-producing plants, and staff members regularly enjoy fresh produce straight off the vine. Aqua Botanical Systems, and the newest Earthship Enhanced Food Production Capabilities with fish and nutrients from their waste. So, okay, they must be talking about aquaponics. I'm not sure how they've incorporated that in, but I'll explain that real quick if you folks are unfamiliar with it. So with aquaponics, it's like hydroponics, but you're going to create the fertilizer with fish. So you're going to have a pond where you're growing fish in. Then this water from the pond, which is full of fish poop, is going to be run through a hydroponic type system to feed plants nutrients. And then the plants are going to clean out this water, and then it's going to cycle back into the fish. And I've even seen it where they put another layer in there. They had chickens living on wire above the fish tank. So when the chickens would poop, the poop would go into the water, and the particular type of fish they had in these tanks were called tilapia, which are what you would call a shit fish. They're one of the ones that eat off the bottom. So these tilapia would eat the chicken shit, and then they would poop out, and then that would neutrophy all the plants and then cycle back in as clean water. So that's what aquaponics is. Now, I got some other stuff I wanted to talk about real quick. It's not really that important, so I want to give my callers precedent if anybody wants to come up. Feel free to go ahead. I'm going to navigate to my articles while I'm giving you a second. Okay, let's see here. So I posted this article, let's see, on the 31st of last month. Minga. I just got out of it somehow. Hopefully I didn't get cut off here. All right. So this article sent to From the Trenches, worldreport.com by yours truly for discussion is coming from the Jerusalem Post by Tamara Zaev. It's titled Sunday Times Editor Apologizes to Jewish Leader Over Anti-Semitic Article.
Oy vey. Oy vey. Oy gewalt.
All right, I thought this was kind of interesting, and when I get to the point that I find it's interesting, I'll mention it. The editor of the Sunday Times, Martin Ivins, apologized to a British Jewish community leader in a phone call after an opinion column sparked accusations of anti-Semitism and a horrified backlash from readers. The column by Irish journalist Kevin Myers implied that two of the BBC's female presenters earned high salaries due to their Jewish heritage. The newspaper deleted the column from the site, issued an apology, and fired the writer following the wave of outrage which it caused. During a phone call on Sunday night, Jewish Leadership Council Chairman Jonathan Goldstein, oy vey, arranged to meet Ivins in September in order to discuss how this article managed to get through the editorial process. So that's what I found most interesting about this article, and I'm just going to read that again. During a phone call on Sunday night, Jewish Leadership Council Chairman Jonathan Goldstein arranged to meet Ivins in September in order to discuss how this article managed to get through the editorial process. So what are they saying right there? That they control the editorial process. Obviously, he was flabbergasted that it was even possible to get past the editorial process. So I think that was really important in the reason that I'm reading this article. Okay, so this is in quotes here. I am grateful for the swift initial steps taken by Mr. Ivins. However, given the record-breaking rise in anti-Semitic incidents reported by the CST, Community Security Trust, and anti-Semitism's unfortunate prominence in our national discourse over recent months, it is the editorial process that remains a concern. Goldstein said, referring to a report released by the anti-Semitism watchdog CST group last week. Oy vey. So maybe they're losing control. Maybe people in the mainstream media are even starting to recognize what's going on and putting out little blips and burbs when they can. I don't know. I found it interesting. Let's continue. I look forward to meeting Mr. Ivins to discuss how such incidents can be avoided in the future, he added. The offending article was originally published online and in the Irish print edition of the weekly paper. The Sunday Times is one of the UK's largest selling newspapers. This is in quotes. I note that two of the best paid women presenters in the BBC, Claudia Winkleman and Vanessa Feltz, are Jewish, Myers wrote. Good for them. Jews are generally not noted for their insistence on selling their talents for the lowest price possible. Okay. This is far from Meyer's first foray into offensive and anti-Semitic viewpoints. In 2009, he published a column in The Independent titled There Was No Holocaust, in which he claimed as irrefutable truth that 6 million Jews were not killed by the Nazis. Wait, hold on. This article remained online for more than 8 years until The Independent finally pulled it on Sunday, noting that it does not comply with our editorial ethos. Amy Spiro contributed to this report. So, yeah, that was coming out of the Jerusalem Post. So I've gotten the habit of checking the Jerusalem Post, and after checking them for about 3 or 4 days, I'm now blocked from their site. Every time I go there, I get a connection reset error. I played around with my firewall a little bit. I can't stop it from happening. So what I've started to use is a Tor browser, T-O-R. And you can go ahead and download this yourself if you like. It's built off of Firefox, and I hope I'm explaining this correctly, but it uses a bunch of proxy servers, so it basically bounces your signal around the planet a little bit, and it makes it so the institution can't pick up on your IP address, they can't look at your computer, they don't even know who you are. So when I have it set on, when I bring up the Jerusalem Post on Tor, my RAM just shoots through the roof. And then the website reloads every 15 seconds, just reloads, reloads, reloads. So I'm thinking if you're going to any of these institutions, these news institutions coming out of Israel, they got some major spyware stuff kind of working with Windows, and you're getting viewed upon when you're looking at these sites. But if you want to go there, this is what I suggest doing. When you're looking at one of the Jerusalem Post articles, hit the print button, okay? And now, I don't have a printer hooked up, so it doesn't automatically print. What it does is it loads a print-friendly version of the website or of the page that I'm looking at, and then it doesn't just continue to sit there reloading and reloading, and it doesn't chew up all the resources. So if you're going to check the Jerusalem Post or Haaretz, I can't pronounce it correctly, both of those sites do the same thing, and this is a way to kind of get around it. So I found this article kind of interesting. I'm not sure we'll be able to get through the whole thing, but China pushing its four-point peace plan. Before I get into that, is there any callers that want to come up? I'll give you a second to chime in. All right. Let's see. China pushing its four-point...
I'm sorry, what's your name again?
It's David Rock. And you, sir?
Sorry, wait. David. Yeah, how you doing, man?
Pretty good.
You say you're from New York, right?
Originally, yes. Rochester.
Yeah, so when did you move out west?
In late 2011, I moved first to Tucson. And I had a gut feeling I was going to get raided by the ATF, okay? When I was in Rochester, my city had an assault weapons ban in addition to the state weapons or assault weapons ban. And I had rifles and magazines and stuff that was not in compliance. So,
good for you. Good for you, man.
Thank you. I first started getting a gut feeling when I got some weird phone calls. I had some gentlemen coming up to me pretending to be Mormons, coming up to my house, asking me questions. I went to a Tea Party meeting, and I swear to God, the guy putting it on was a Fed. I almost got arrested for swearing at the Tea Party, and I had this guy like scan my face and analyze it like he was going to look at lineup photos later on or something. I've always been very politically outspoken, calling into radio stations, writing comments on the local newspaper. And you'll notice the local newspapers don't really allow for comments anymore, which is kind of interesting. So I know for a fact that I got on a list somehow. And one of the things before I left that really confirmed this in my mind is I put on an estate sale, and I just went and painted up a sign with some stencils and spray paint and just stuck it down at the end of my street. And I had a fully uniformed officer show up to my estate sale and start poking around my house. So I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Reservoir Dogs, but when Joe Cabot goes, that's how to handle this situation, shit your pants, dive in and swim, it was that exact same scenario. So like I just got butterflies in my stomach real fast, and I took the guy all around the house, and I did the same spiel that I was doing for everybody. But when I took him from the house to the detached garage, this is when I knew that this guy was here because of what I was typing in on the Democrat and Chronicle. I used to say things like, I don't appreciate being told what I can grow in my backyard, in reference to marijuana. So when this cop exited my house, he sat there and he scanned my entire backyard, just slowly, just head on a swivel, just from one side, and just slowly scanned all the way to the other. So I knew that they were taking advantage of the situation, that I basically created an opportunity where they could just come into my house with no warrant or anything. So my gut feeling about the ATF raiding me was super strong. And I picked Arizona because of constitutional carry and several other reasons. I really don't like the snow. But about hold on.
I bet it was a culture shock coming out there. A culture shock for you coming out there where it's so free with firearms than it is out east. You know, when I moved out west, I thought the whole country was like where we live.
In New York, when you're taking your rifle to your car, it feels like you're carrying a piece of pornography. You know, you put pornography in a black plastic bag and you quickly rush it out or whatever. It felt exactly like that. When you take your rifle from your house to your car, it felt like you were holding a piece of pornography in your hand. And I didn't like it. I didn't like that feeling one bit. Let me finish up the story real quick. So four months after I left New York, the ATF raided my best friend / next door neighbor's house. Now, he lives kitty corner across the street. So if I'm looking across the street, there's a home directly across. He's the next house to the left, okay? Now, on my side of the street, on my left, is an open lot. And just beyond that open lot is a Rochester City police officer. Now, just around the corner in the back was a Rochester City detective. So the detective worked on this case with the ATF. They staged in the driveway of my previous next-door neighbor, the police officer, the one who's on the same side and one lot away. Yet they were looking for a black family who lives, when you're staring at the house across the street, instead of the left where my friend's house is, it's to the right. Okay? Totally different colored house, totally different shaped house. They're black. My friends are white. Anyway, these ATF officers come into my friend's house, accost his mom, say, "Where is your son?" And obviously, they should have known they were in the wrong house when the woman was white and not black. They begin to start heading up the steps to my neighbor's room. He didn't know what was going on. He grabbed his Mossberg 500 Persuader off the rack and just shucked the action closed. The breech was already open, so he just shucked it closed and with a round actually going to chamber. And as soon as the ATF heard that sound, they went long gun, long gun, long gun, and scrambled back down the steps. So he waited for two or three minutes, put the gun down, and came outside. They had his mom in handcuffs. They eventually uncuffed his mom, and they let him go. And then they proceeded to raid the correct home. And they didn't find anything there, but they kicked in the walls. They took the contents of the fireplace and dragged it out over the carpet and completely ruined their brand new carpet and just terrorized these people. So I know they make mistakes all the time, according to their news reports. But they said they surveilled this property for 6 months. And then this was a joint venture between the woman's boyfriend, the black family's boyfriend, who was down in Florida. So he got hit simultaneously in Florida that she got hit. So, I mean, I don't know exactly what was going on. But for me to get such a strong gut feeling that I'm going to get raided by the ATF and then end up moving because of it and then to have it happen within a quarter of the year. So I think I made the right decision. So did you want to bring up your experiences about moving to the West or anything else? Anything else you're interested in?
Oh, no. It was just, I thought everywhere was like the Midwest, like Illinois, you know. And when I moved out there in the 70s, I was a teenager, and I'm walking down the country road out up by Hood River, way out in the country, and I've got two rifles on my back, a handgun on my side, and I'm walking out to go to a shooting range, gravel pit, to go shoot at the gravel pit down the road. And I'm like, you never see a sheriff out there, but all of a sudden, here comes the sheriff. I'm looking, oh, no, what am I going to do, you know? I thought I was going to get the third degree and all that. The guy just drives on by and waves. You know,
it kind of all depends on where you're located, because
even
in New York, we had somebody complain that we were shooting the rifle a little too close to a house, which wasn't the case. And the state trooper came out. He didn't even look at the rifle or anything. He just talked about backstop and talked to us like we were little kids for a little bit and then let us go. But on that note, we're out of time for today. I appreciate the phone calls and I appreciate everybody coming up. Y'all enjoy the rest of your day and we'll see you tomorrow.